Hey, come here. It's time for preparing for battle with Oz. No ear tickling here. Just what we need to prepare for the battle.
What did he just say?
He said there's a storm coming in.
I know.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a show preparing for battle. I'm your host, Roz. It's nice to be on here again, and I'm gearing up and getting ready, and I'm very excited about the show and the shows that are getting ready to take place, Lord willing, of course. I'd like to bring on our guest tonight. First of all, thank you, Daryl, for coming back, Pastor Daryl, from Louisiana. I always love having him on the program. I've had him on now for about a handful of times, and I'm just excited about him being here again. And I also invited another gal who I've become friends with through mutual friends, but her and Daryl and I were both friends with her. Her name's Roxanne. I'm excited to have her on, and it's been a while, so if I stumble and fall, I'll pick myself back up again and just get going. All right, so let's get the show started. Roxanne, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And there she is.
Hi.
Daryl, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, Daryl, this is Roxanne.
Well, hello,
hi,
Roxanne.
You know, we used to be on the same email list a long time ago. You remember me?
I know. For years. Now we're on the Facebook.
I used to call you Bugs. I still call you Bugs. That's what I refer you to.
Now many people call me Bugs.
Yeah.
And some people call me the Bug Man Preacher.
Exactly. Yes, you are the Bug Man Preacher.
Spraying and praying.
Roxanne, I'd like to introduce you to my co-host. She's been pretty much, well, a listener since the beginning of Preparing for Battle. Her name's Dorothy. She's one of my very close friends.
Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Roxanne. Welcome to the show.
Yes, and I think we've met before with Darnett.
Could be. Yes, yes, I remember now. Yes. So this should be a rip-roaring show.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's just get started. If you guys don't mind, I'd like to ask Daryl if he would pray for us before the show starts.
I certainly will. Are y'all ready?
All ready.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And first of all, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for preserving us, dear Lord, watching over us, bestowing many blessings upon us, and even those we cannot see. Your hedge of protection is with us always, Lord Jesus. And we thank you so much for what you've done at the cross for us. Thank you for the victory that you've given us, dear Lord, over anything of the enemy. Lord, we pray that this show is for your glory and your glory only, and that those who have ears to hear, listen to what the Spirit says to the church and to the people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know who. Somebody's got some kind of background thing going on.
It might be my phone. Here. Hold on a second here. I was trying to find a headset. Let me see if that helps for now.
Okay.
Is that better?
I just figured that was
better.
The government.
That's funny.
I kind of want them to listen in.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Good.
First of all, I just kind of like to start on the current events, what's been taking place, and each of you just what your opinion is on this, and there's a lot of things out there, and a lot of people are being just led in the wrong direction, and just it's I just, you know, want truth, and you always give it. Darryl, you and I talk a lot, so there's always lots to talk about. But I just kind of like to hit it off with that right now, just with what's going on and the signs. The signs are, like, so much more prevalent than they were even 5 years ago, you know, when I started doing.
Right. And what's going on in the physical realm or in the spiritual realm, they both affect each other. But you can tell that the Antichrist spirit, not the Antichrist leader yet, but the Antichrist spirit is rising within people and within leadership, especially in the government we now have. We can tell that there's confusion, and we know that our God is not the God of confusion, but the Prince of Peace. So we could tell that just what last week or a week ago, week and a half ago, where the government shut down and nobody could come to a conclusion of what to do or how to do it, and nobody would bend or compromise, and when they end up compromising, but they were all confused. But we see that happening, and that's happened in the past, and each time it happens, the Lord prepares his body to stand. But I believe now we're in the final stand, what people call the end days, and many people say we've been hearing that for the last 100 years, and like me and you were talking about, Roz, that's mercy. That's the Lord's mercy to have ministers preach that for the last 100 years. So it doesn't mean, it doesn't negate the fact that we are in the end times. Every sign is here, including the technology that we have now. It literally lets us be able to, now you can see where the mark can become like the RFID chip. They can put all your information, they can track you and all these things with this, just that one chip. That's the mark of technology. Well, that's a piece of technology that can become the mark later on, mark of the beast.
Well, you know, Darryl, you know, there was, like, some kind of, like, statistic thing that was taken. There are so many people that are willing to give up to use their thumb as identification to get what they need, like, now more than ever.
Yep.
They're willing to, there's so many that are willing to just go up there and, okay, we'll use face recognition, we'll use, you know, hand recognition to get what we, to get to the other side, to get the bread and the milk. You know what I mean?
Right. We've been conditioned. Think about it. When self sits on the throne in our hearts, and we've actually had everything that caters to self in the last 40 years just ramp it up. I mean, you name it, to have it our way through drive-in, you know, food joints. We drive into Burger King, we want it our way. We want it within 2 minutes. So now people are conditioned to say, look, this is for convenience. And it's so convenient, I want one on my forehead. Like they have actually put chips in people's forehead in Europe. That way the camera can actually pick up the transaction and draft their bank account. Now, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13 that they'll put the mark either in their forehead or their right hand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. I mean, because it's becoming more and more of an everyday thing. I mean, in China itself, I mean, you know, you go to Disneyland or Disney World over there, and you have to use face recognition to get in there. You know, they're
right.
They're more of a fast, more faster paced technology. And he's watching cartoons.
sorry,
he's watching Wreck-It Ralph. they're using more and more face recognition over there. They have, you know, I think they have a more higher of a technology base than we do here. Even, I mean, we do too, but they really got it. Most of our stuff comes from there anyway. So, I mean, it just seemed like being more and more, like I said, that everybody's just, you know, yes, I'll do that to get this, you know, because it's for my security, you know.
Right. They're going to trust in the arm of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what the Bible says about that in Jeremiah 17. And it's cursed. It's all who trust in the arm of the flesh, anyone who trusts in the arm of the flesh. It is now time to trust in Jesus Christ, the solid rock. Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, it's interesting. With women having babies, I mean, that's, you know, there's going to be some. I had talked in I think it was my third year into the show. I had said, you know what, there's going to come a time when people are they're going to use your children to get to you, to take it.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Go ahead.
I think it was yesterday I seen an article that they were chipping, I think, children in Wyoming, if I'm not mistaken, or somewhere, without the parents' consent.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's pretty amazing to me. I mean, they don't even have to have the parents' consent.
Well, yeah, Pam told me about that, actually. And she said, I guess the kids had ran into their parents saying, you know, somebody was taking pictures of us and then they sped off or something.
This is actually a school system.
Oh, this is a school. Maybe that was something else she had been telling me about.
Yeah, it was a school system actually putting the technology of the chip in the children without even consulting the parents.
That's not good.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of extreme. But, you know, our government these days and the way people kind of desire to, you know, go about life, and a lot of people desire to bury their head in the sand and not listen to folks like us, and they call you conspiracy theorists and all kind of strange names, and before you know it, you're called a cult and all kind of weird stuff, you know, like that. But the problem is when it starts popping up on the news and they have to show at least something that's happened in the last month, you know, because you know we're in a media blackout. When Europe knows more than what we know about our own country, we're in a media blackout.
Big time.
I know, big time. So shows like this are actually wonderful to get information out to people that don't even know what's going on. You'd be surprised at the people that have no idea what's happening behind the scenes. They have no idea that 4 generals got fired 2 weeks ago. No idea that there was an earthquake outside of, I believe it was, South Carolina, outside of South Carolina's harbor. And it was actually something else besides an earthquake because there's no fault line there. In Europe, you know, they know about it. If you read the European paper, you can find out about what happened there. But here, you don't hear nothing about it.
The mini nuke.
Exactly. And it was that nuke that was missing out of Texas. But you'd think that'd be pretty big news. But yeah, at least Fox or somebody, but see, they're all bought, believe me. Rupert Murdoch, that owns Fox News, sold a large portion to a Saudi prince, so that's why they really don't speak against Islam like they used to.
Incredible.
Oh, yeah. We can go into some topics here that get us really in trouble.
Well, I don't care. I'm wrong.
Excited.
You know that.
Oh, yeah. They put me in a FEMA camp. They better be ready because there are going to be some people get saved. And I believe if people get healed in there, we won't need no Obamacare in there either.
Well, you know, I'm really excited to see what Shane's been doing where is he, in Uganda right now?
He's come back, but he was in Uganda, and I think they had 26 salvations. That's awesome. I know he got to go in prisons over there and feed 300 or 400 people, and it was amazing. It was just all Jesus.
That is so awesome.
I know it. I got excited when I was talking to him earlier today about it. And he's going back in May.
Wow. That was just so exciting to see all the people and their smiling faces, and I was thinking about this yesterday. I was driving home. Lord, they're so hungry. They're so hungry. And it's like, you know, you think that people here would just be so hungry for him, you know? And, you know, it was interesting. I got to talk about this. I get paid tomorrow, so, you know, I was a little tight this week, and I was just on E. And I was like, oh, my gosh, how am I going to get home? And I was talking to Dorothy, and I was talking to you, and I'm like, Lord, please get us home. And all of a sudden, I just felt this peace over my body, and it was like, I got your back. That's all I heard. And I was crying all the way home.
Hey,
I was
me.
Crying all the way home. So I was just like, wow. It's just, you think that something like that was small, and it's not. When you hear him say, I've got you, don't even fret, you know?
Fear not.
Exactly. I've got your back. I've got your back. It reminds you of a football player, you know, when they're there to protect you, and they're there to protect the quarterback, you know, when they've got the ball. And that's what came to my head. It was football. I've got your back. So I was just like, wow.
Oh, it is wild when the Holy Spirit tells you that, because he's Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth. And when he tells you he's got your back, he's got your back.
I know, right?
He's not going to drop us.
You know, it was like I was just reborn or something, just hearing that. It's just really, really cool. But you think something like that, like I said, would be small. And I thought about, you know, Habakkuk and how it doesn't matter what's going on around you. You know, don't let the world direct your, and you know how I was feeling after I got out of work. I was just like, oh, my boss got me so frustrated, because he was frustrated. And that's what I was thinking on the way home after I got off the phone with you. I was like, and talking to Dorothy, I was just like, you know, why God's got my back. What am I frightened about this for? So
amen.
It's like, I think what I want to say is that you think he doesn't. He does. He so does. And if you think something's small, it really isn't. It's really big in that. And see, that little seed, me hearing that is making everything grow. So now, since I heard that in my spirit, I was like, I'm just like, nope, not anymore. He's got my back. I'm not even going to worry about this. Forget it. You couldn't tell me that last week or the week before.
That's right. That's why you pour that living water on it. You put that living water, which is the Word of God, on it, and it's awesome. It will grow. Your faith will grow, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I want to read this real fast, if you let me.
No, go ahead.
Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yea, I will help you, yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they who strive with thee shall perish. You shall seek them and shall not find them, even them who contended with you. They who war against you shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. That's Almighty God. He's given us all power over the enemy. So what we talk about tonight should put no fear in no one who is saved, of course.
Because he's got your back.
Ooh. Yeah. Because he cannot lie. Says in Hebrews, our God cannot lie. So as you read these scriptures, you can take comfort in they're true. And then when you experience things and go through situations, you have testimony to the scriptures that he does watch your back.
Right, but it's like one thing to read it, but another to feel it. That's an incredible feeling when you feel it in your spirit and you hear him saying, I got your back.
Amen.
And to put the football image in my head, you know, it's interesting how he uses different things to help us understand, you know?
Yeah, like parables.
Yeah.
Like he did through the Gospels.
Exactly.
If you're like Roxanne and you deal with horses, then he'll use horses. Mm-hmm. If you're like me and deal with bugs, he'll use bugs, because I'm an exterminator. He will.
I love it. Is that all you see when you're out there? disgusting. Did you ever see any rodents out there?
I do. And I talk to them sometimes. I tell them to leave and get out of the house so I don't have to poison them. But, yeah, I'll never forget when the Holy Ghost told me one time that the devil, he did my job too, and that my job was a lot like his. And I said, what? You know, that kind of freaked me out. I'm like, well, I don't want to be like the devil. What are you talking about? He said, well, he baits just like you bait insects, and you have a different bait for every different insect. And I'm like, wow. And he's got a different bait for every different human because we all got different weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take the bait, like the bugs I deal with, they take the bait, and they take the bait, which is sweet to their mouth because it's got sugar in it, and they take it back to their nest, their families, and it destroys all of them. Well, we take sin. We're baited with sin that's sweet to our mouth for a season. And we take it back home, and we think nobody else seen. And all of a sudden, it just starts tearing our family apart. And I'm like, wow, he is an exterminator. I'm going to have to change my job. But like I said, it's a parable. That's how Jesus talks. Now, these big preachers up here these days, they use all these big words, these great swelling words that nobody understands, that you got to go home, get a dictionary, and look up to try to figure it out, and still can't figure out what it means. And then that's not Jesus. They do that out of pride to make themselves look good and intelligent before the people. Yes, and they might even put a British accent or something so they can sound intelligent. Me, I don't care. I'm from Princeton Road, Houghton, Louisiana, and I'm going to sound like a Louisiana boy. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Hey, Roxanne, do you have any hot dogs tonight?
No hot dogs tonight. Kind of burnt out on them.
I was like, I had four hot dogs.
You know,
I was thinking, I know she didn't have them all at once.
No, that was all through one day, and that's plenty. But, you know, Bugs brought up a really good analogy, and our jobs really do reflect a lot of, you know, what we gain from the Lord and how he uses us, you know. And with horses, I have another analogy. You know, I work with horses every day, and horses will mirror back your attitude. They'll mirror back. And, you know, when we take God's word and we begin to mirror it back, it reflects back the same to us. You know, God expects us to speak his word and to live his word and to be examples. And it will mirror back to us, you know. Whatever it, you know, honestly, it is like a spiritual law and principle set in motion. You know, so a lot of things, those things happen. But I think what happens with a lot of these big evangelists on television and all that, TV preachers, and I'm not saying all of them, but there's a good portion of them, and we know that.
Yeah.
They are out there. The intention of their heart is greed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, yes, we are to judge them by their fruit. You know, there's a lot of them out there getting rich off of poor people that have no money and give their very last mite, their very last fraction of a penny, because they want to be able to make it through, and they're being lied to and deceived. And this has been going on for a long time now, you know, and God is just, he's tired of this kind of manipulation and deception going on in the church. And I mean, I woke up 10 years ago to it, honestly. I mean, I was trapped in some of that. I mean, I think we all have been at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
But he does want us to wake up, and yes, there is a place for prosperity, but maybe it's not quite what people think it is, you know, to prosper. Because you look at Jesus, you know, he wasn't laying up for himself treasures here on earth.
Uh-huh.
Although he did have the money anytime he needed it for something, you know, God always was there and provided it and made provision, you know, because Jesus was God in the flesh.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
So.
Well, they got a new show called L.A. Preachers. Have y'all heard about this?
Uh-uh.
In Los Angeles?
No.
And they,
maybe I did hear about that.
Yeah, it's a reality show where they follow like 4 to 5 ministers over there who are these, you know, prosperity preachers. And, I mean, they're in Mercedes Benz or what do you call them? Rolls Royce and Bentleys, and I mean they're just raking the people over the coals. They got 5,000 and 10,000 people mega churches, you know, and they're just talking about how they got to have their nails done and they got to have the best, and then they got to have guards and an entourage, and it's amazing to me. But the thing about it, Jesus didn't do that.
No.
So they're not following the Jesus of the Bible. They're following the graven image that they created in their mind.
Right.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, they are. Everybody's become Tony Robbins.
Well, think about it. What about somebody coming from overseas or even be able to see this overseas? Because they got satellite now. So they see this is this Christianity? So if they were thinking about converting, it makes them sick. Or if they do convert, then they get some type of false idea of who Jesus is, and they're bewitched.
Exactly. And the thing with this is when people get, they don't have, oh my gosh. You know, I've gone to some things, you know, where you're in a coliseum, you know, setting, and you know, afterwards, you know, you get swooped outside where everybody's merchandise is, and yeah, I fell for it. You know, after sitting back, and it took me a couple of years to actually figure out where I was, and you know what level I was on, and I was like, wait a minute, this isn't right. This is sounding almost my ears like opened up. This is a power talk. I want a power talk. I want somebody to be honest with me. You know, tell me what I need to do after I'm saved. Things I got to work on. I mean, it's hard, and really, your flesh doesn't want to do it, but you know you have to. But they don't express that. Oh, just sit back. You'll be fine. Enjoy the ride. You know what I mean? And that's what I hear.
Yep. And happen. It was the same thing. Human nature does not change. If you go back to Isaiah in Jeremiah's day, you'll see that Jeremiah prophesied against the same type of false prophets and false teachers and false leaders in his day. And they were laying wait and setting traps and snares for God's people. It was, and God's seen it. And don't think he don't see. He's been merciful and giving people a chance to repent. But there's going to come a day where it's all going to come to fruition, and it's going to be sad if they hadn't repented. I put it that way.
Well, why is it that when you first go into a church, the first thing they trap you with is, oh, yeah, let's get up and sing, and let's tithe right away? Get y'all feeling good? Yeah, I'm clapping. Here, I'm going to give my money away.
What I call a psychological manipulation on God's children going on. I mean, what they do is many leaders see the love that people have for Jesus Christ in their hearts. You can see it in people's eyes many times. I mean, they're on fire. They love the Lord. So then they take the word of God, twist it, manipulate it like Lucifer, the angel of light, who likes to transpose himself as an angel of light. And they twist it, put people in bondage and say, to please God, since you love him so much, if you want to please him, now we're going to put you under law. And you must give 10% of everything you have and own or your income. Then they go beyond that, and they start going to first fruits of the year. Not only do you give 10% every single week, but they want 10% of the year. And then they want 20-something percent because they want 10% in Sunday school. I mean, I've heard of churches going just crazy with this stuff, and people, instead of looking things up for themselves and getting with God themselves and going to his word and finding truth, they listen to men lead them into a ditch. And before you know it, they're disheartened, they're broken, and some even depart from the faith because of this. It's sad. And it's not Jesus, it's men. And that's happened a whole lot in America.
Well, Bugs, I'm thinking too, you know, when, you know, after Jesus ascended and Paul and Peter and all of them were bringing the churches together, you know, well, let's hit on it. Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied. My question was, did the tithe go out, and was it just a big community church then, and you gave what you could to meet the needs of the church and the people?
and the widows and everyone? Or, I mean, how did that work? Because there's so much confusion. I've heard people say, and I've heard churches teach it too, that the tithe went out with the Old Testament, and it was, you know, a new way of giving, you know, and it wasn't really locked into the 10%.
I don't
say yes, no, or anything, because I haven't studied it thoroughly enough to say yes or no.
Best thing to do is go to the Apostle Paul's writings in 2 Corinthians chapter 9.
Okay.
That's the first place to start if you want to know how the Lord feels about giving under the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Because you will not find him commanding us to tithe after the cross of Christ. After Christ went to the cross and fulfilled all the law, it says in Romans
mm-hmm.
chapter 10:4 for righteousness, you will not find them putting anybody under the law of the tithe.
Right.
And many people say it's not a law. But under Hebrews 7:5, it actually says under the law, the Levites, the priests, were required to collect a tithe from the people. If you keep reading, it says they themselves did not pay a tithe because their tithe was paid in Abraham's loins.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Our high priest is Jesus Christ now. Our
mm-hmm.
tithe has been paid through the cross. He fulfilled
mm-hmm.
that law for all righteousness. So now we give out of what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 right here. And if you go to verse 7, it says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. That means you're not compelled by some law or compelled
mm-hmm.
by some man or compelled by anything else.
Mm-hmm.
For God loves a cheerful giver. So that is the scripture you go by giving.
Right.
Now, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I've been in some churches or, you know, here and there, and on occasion they would put an offering basket in the front or in the back as you leave, and there was no pressure at all. And they've used the scripture, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. They didn't say anything about a 10% or a tithe. And I think I saw almost everybody and child putting something into the baskets at the time. And to me, it felt so liberated, you know, to have an offering like that where people were giving.
Well, if you follow the Gospels, I don't see nowhere where Jesus even had to take up a collection. People just
mm-hmm.
gave to the ministry.
Right.
And I mean, and Judas held the money bag, of course. So I believe
yep.
I believe we got a lot of Judases holding the money bag these days in these churches.
Right.
That's why they're so desperate. But here's the thing. His Heavenly Father would supply every need they needed. When they didn't have enough money to feed the 5 or 10, 15,000, including women and children, guess what? Supernaturally, it was provided. So if we really had faith in Jesus Christ, guess what we would do? We wouldn't have to try to pressure people to give. We would know that he would supply every single need of his church. He's not going to let us down. He's
mm-hmm.
not going to supply our greed where we have to go and put all these big swelling chandeliers and all this stuff in the church and these big things on the property and raise up obelisk to the sky and say, this is the cross here and this is that. You know, No, he's not supplying all that. That's man's pride doing all that. That's why they're fleecing people over there. They want to build great swelling temples to themselves like they did in Israel back then, in high places.
Yeah.
And
well, look,
God's
look
going to
at
take
Paul.
Them down.
Paul made tents, and I believe yeah. a net, wasn't it? I mean, he worked. He wasn't just out there and bless God, I'm, you know, an evangelist.
yeah.
you know, he wasn't doing that. He actually worked. And, you know, so I look at that as an example. You've got a lot of full-time ministries out there, and I'm not saying that they're bad or good or, you know, whatever. I'm just saying that they still had a job, you know, that they did alongside with it. And there are so many churches that I think so much money does get wasted. I mean, we are the church, the people.
Well, what's about to happen? When the dollar collapses and they start a new system, which will probably be an electronic system, due
uh-huh.
so so they can control people with the chip that they're about to put in people or try to put in many people.
Right.
What we're going to see is a lot of these places are going to be hewed down because it's going to be totally different than cash. It won't be a cash-based thing anymore. Right now, it's cash, and I think the Lord's allowing some things to happen out of judgment because of what his church has done out of an evil heart of extortion. It says no extortioners are going to enter the gates of heaven. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is. So, and there's a lot of extortioners behind the pulpit.
I mean, churches are forced into signing their church under a business.
Yep.
And that gives the IRS right to go into their church and pretty much say and do as they please. And then churches are forced to give lists of their congregation, the givers. Go right ahead.
There are many leaders of churches on the FEMA payroll. Because being as they are on the FEMA payroll, the government's going to use them to take those who trust in them and put them under submission to whoever is in charge of the government. Like if it's Obama, mm-hmm. Obama. And if it's whoever, the Antichrist leader rises up, then that law is set in place, and they've been sending FEMA checks to these pastors, and they're going to do it. They're going to use Romans chapter 13 to put people under submission to the government, not God. And they did it in Hitler's day.
Mm-hmm.
Sure did, and they're going to do it again. I just think that
we're heading into a time really, I mean, we're so close to the church basically going underground in a sense again.
I agree. Just like it did in the early church.
Right.
But you know, when it does that, it actually grows. And it purifies also. If you look at the Chinese church, I mean, there's, I don't know how many, over a million or more, strong underground.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they're strong. They're actually purified. It's not no name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, fake it till you make it, and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Well, and they're not doing like these big, you know, baptisms out in the public and everybody's cheering and everything. Baptism then was, you know, and it should be sacred. You know, it is basically a public announcement, basically an act that you're doing, the total immersion, you know.
Amen.
I mean, I just look at that because I know I was going to church and everything was publicized and it was like, wow, I want to do that, you know. And I think some of the motive was just because I want to do it. I haven't been baptized. Yeah, I want people to see that I'm doing this great thing or whatever. But I think when you have a country like China and all these other countries that have had to be underground, the church is underground, and the baptism there's just something a lot more sacred, you know, because God's calling us to be holy and to separate ourselves. And it seems like, in some sense, I don't know, the church is really getting watered down because there's TV evangelists out there right now that are, you know, they're catering into the homosexual movement. We know it's not Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve from the very beginning. We know that God instituted family and marriage between a man and a wife, not a man and a man or a woman and a woman or transgender, you know. So I think it's really coming to a place where, you know, when you see like, and I hate to do this, but I'm going to name a name, and it's Joel Osteen, and what he's come out and saying, well, God loves the gay, you know, and of course there's going to be gays in heaven. Well, I suppose the ones that have repented and renounced it, you know, because I guess they forget that God also says that homosexuality is an abomination.
Mm-hmm.
And they forget to leave that out.
And it literally says they will not enter heaven. That's in 1 Corinthians 6 again. No whoremongers, effeminate, those who have, you know, homosexual sex with others. I mean, it's in there.
Right.
So,
and yet, we've got ministers out there that are catering
promoting
to
it.
An audience, you know. They're just, it's like they're friends with everybody.
But that's Baphomet for you, because
mm-hmm.
Baphomet, what's that? It's transgender. And what are they doing now? They're
that's
having,
right.
they're wanting children to
They want them to get acquainted with transgender restrooms in their school.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? I don't think so.
Oh no, I see. Uh-uh.
And the first thing I've done a lot of like Pastor Mike Hoggart studies, stuff like that. And you know, the first thing that comes to my brain when I hear about that is Baphomet, right off the bat.
That's mm-hmm. exactly who it is. That's exactly who's up
mm-hmm.
there in the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
That's exactly who's in Washington, D.C. Look at the occult mm-hmm. symbols. It was set up that way, and we're going out that way.
Right.
Mystery Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Says, the United States, it's not mentioned
it's no
in the Bible.
Mystery anymore.
Yeah, no.
It's no mystery anymore, though. It's exposed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see it, but you've got a lot of people that are blind, and it's the blind leading the blind. And
that's what I'm saying.
You know,
why aren't they talking about this in the church?
You know why?
This could save someone's soul. I mean, who cares if you don't have anybody sitting in the pulpit? The fact of the matter is, God will make sure that that church stays open for somebody, even if it's just one person that listens. One person that'll listen to it. And, you know, and I'm not saying that I'm not directing anybody on what they should teach. I'm nobody. But all I'm saying is to, you know, all my life I've been in law enforcement. And you know, you're supposed to help people, deter them away from danger, not invite them in.
That's exactly right.
You're
to
serve and protect.
You got whole denominations.
Yeah, now it's like it's instead of protect and serve, it's what's that other term?
Deceive and slaughter.
No. It's not protect and serve. It's on the side of the transformer.
I think
you're
all
right. Kinds of things. It's on the side of the transformer. It's something to. It's something and to enslave. Pull it up here.
Barricade.
Well,
that's the name.
Speaking of this, you got the Southern Baptist denomination, which is, there's a leader in there, Dr. Russell Moore, the president of an Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, is now saying that preachers in the Southern Baptist Convention are under their authority, need to back off ministering or preaching against homosexuality or abortion, that it actually repels the younger generation. So
mm-hmm.
So you got whole denominations falling by the wayside. You got the Assembly of God, George Woods, connecting himself with the Mormon cult, and saying that they have in common the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But he says nothing about saying Jesus is the only begotten Son of the living God, which Jesus built his church on, Matthew 16. So you got whole denominations now that are falling. That's why you don't put your faith in any type of church, organization, denomination.
Mm-hmm.
You put your faith in Jesus Christ and be part of that remnant.
Amen.
Don't get me to preaching.
It's to punish and enslave. Sorry.
Yeah.
Instead of protect and serve, it's to punish and enslave.
That's about the truth.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought I heard one.
Saying, I'm just. Sorry, go ahead.
I thought I heard one in black helicopters last night.
Yeah, but he's got your back. Don't worry. That is the headline to the show. You've got your back. There we go.
The one thing we don't have to worry about is, you know, we don't have to fear all these things of these people coming to get you or whatever. Remember when they come to get Jesus? I mean, the Pharisees send a whole regiment out to get him. And he just said, a little while, I'll be with you. I mean, I'll be with you a little while longer. I'm not going nowhere. And they just turned around and walked off. It was amazing. And then they asked him, well, did you bring him? He said, well, no one spoke like this man. So if God wants to confound them and confuse them, you're not going until it's your time, period.
Exactly.
Of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, the Word of God says, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
And we are made righteous in who? Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're the righteousness of God in Christ. So our steps are ordered of who? Unless we just want to act up in the flesh and walk in the flesh and we're not walking in the Spirit. And then we get ourselves in trouble. But when you walk in the Spirit, you have nothing to fear.
Amen.
I mean, even if they want to take you out, they can't take you out until it's your time.
Until he says so, yeah.
I love it. I just love it. I'm telling you, that frees you up. Mm-hmm. I mean, praise God. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Right on.
I done got up and started walking now.
Roz, remember when we were talking just the other week? I'm sorry, Bugs. We were saying what a wonderful, exciting, awesome time this is to be alive in the end. Look at the prophecy that's being fulfilled and how it parallels the Bible. I mean, to me, that is exciting to be able to present the gospel, the truth. I mean, it's like a storybook wide open.
Right, and I'm not saying that this will happen, but there's so many things that are happening in the heavens that we're going to take notice to. I mean, it's going to become more prevalent, I believe. And, you know, I think almost even like my dream where I saw markings in the sky was markings all over the sky. But I think people are going to be, I think we're going to be all, wow, let's get out the lawn chairs and check this out.
Well, Jesus said there'd be signs in the heavens.
Yeah.
And you know, you knew about the four blood moons.
Yes, I was hoping we'd touch on this.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And I believe there's only been so many in the last 500 years, and it's not very many. It's just very odd and unusual, really. And the blood moons we've had in the last 100 years have been on May 15th, 1948, when Israel became a nation. Then in 1967, during the Six-Day War, there was a blood moon. And now we got four coming in the next 2 years on their feast days.
Yeah.
So this is telling them something. That means something dramatic is going to happen around that area in this season we're in. Then
that's
you had
just right around the corner.
A third of it just ripped off. And it was dark. You could see straight through it. Have y'all seen that?
Mm-hmm.
About 2 months ago, that was just amazing.
Uh-huh. It's amazing that all these blood moons fall right on a Jewish holiday of Passover, you know?
Yep.
I mean, it's no coincidence.
Oh, no.
Every day is marked with that. So we can expect something phenomenal to happen, and just extraordinary and, I mean, it's going to be awesome, whatever God does. And I think it's something that we should really educate ourselves on about the blood moon, the past, the history, so we can talk to others. So when the world sees these things happen, that seed that we planted will come back.
Amen.
You know, Pastor Mark Blitz, I think he put out a book. And then there was a – it's all boxed up, but it's in a the blood moons, and it'll show you like the different ones and what date they actually fell on and what are falling on and what actually, and it'll show you like right next to it, it'll say the year, you know, the Nisan year and stuff like that, you know, how they follow things.
Yeah, these are rare, especially four in 2 years. That's very rare. Then you got Israel actually being 70, turning 70 in 2018. And they lost their nation in 70 A.D. And God, if you read the Word of God, He tends to work in 70s and 7.
Yes.
It's amazing how He does that, but He does.
Yes, He does.
So it's very interesting, and I'm not trying to call no day or hour because nobody knows the day or the hour, but we can know the season because we're not children of darkness. We're children of light. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Billy Graham just set a date. Just recently.
What?
Yeah, I think Billy Graham just set a date recently. Don't quote me on that, but I could have swore I heard Stuart Best talking about that.
Yeah, poor
Billy
Willie.
Graham. I'll have to re-listen to it, but I'm pretty sure he did.
Well, Billy's probably been influenced a little bit, I would imagine. In the last, I'd say 20 years of his life or even a little bit more, he's been influenced. And it's not for the better. It's for the worse. Now, I don't know about Franklin. I hadn't heard him make statements like Billy, but I've heard Billy make statements that are not right. And, I mean, need to pray for him because, I mean, I believe he started out right when he was on fire. I used to watch some old evangelistic sermons, man, from like the 40s and 50s and 60s. And then all of a sudden it started changing, probably I'd say around the late 70s, 80s, 90s and all. He started getting in, I guess, with leaders around the world, traveling in politics and Catholicism, and he started going, and I think he got swayed. But that's going to be him and God one day.
Well, I think that that also goes along with Robert Schuller and his son, too.
Ooh,
there was a rift in that, and I don't know if you recall, Bugs, but there was a time when Billy Graham and Robert Schuller was they were on a program together, and they both said that all religions basically serve the same God. And that was like a real tipping point right there where red flags went off, and I went, uh-oh, you know, because then it reminds you that even the very elect will be deceived, you know.
That's right.
We just need to be really pulling them back out of the fire, and those that are influenced by people that have that much sway, you know. So we have to be able to I don't think we can restrain ourselves or hold ourselves back and go, did they just say what I think they heard? Let me go home and pray about it. No, I think we have to be bold and stand up and say, no, that's not right, you know, and we have to not like we're pulling them down, but we have to bring them to a place of correction again because there's just so many things where we're seeing the church, and the religions kind of morphing together into this new one world religion.
Yep. Sure is.
And there's a church that I used to go to in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, when I lived up there. And the pastor there, he was ahead of the umbrella of this whole stuff with the one world organization for religions, where Islam and all these other things coexist, were embraced. And I just knew, because when you know the word and you've studied it and you seriously want to have that relationship, that holy walk with God, the Holy Spirit will be your teacher and really teach you. And, you know, the red flags will go off. You'll know something's not right. And so when I saw that going on up in Minnesota with the one big church there and how it was pulling all these other churches kind of gathering up into this, I would say this big broadband of harlot deception, I knew right away it was time to come out from the church for a bit, pull out and really examine myself and make sure that I was ready for what was coming, you know. And that was 10 years ago when all that rift came, you know, and now we're seeing even more things with the financial stuff going on, the RFID chip, and so many things pulling together. I mean, there's just so much more than that is just pulling together, because now a lot of us understand signs, symbolisms, the Illuminati, you know, there's just so many things that we have to be watchful of and prayed up. But I'm not afraid. I mean, I'm not afraid of what's coming. I'm actually quite excited.
Oh, me too. We should be encouraged. When Jesus said, he said, when you see these things happening, don't be discouraged.
Yep.
Be encouraged. He said, lift up and look up. Because your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
The government's going to be on his shoulders. Amen. We don't look for America to come back. America's part of Mystery Babylon as far as Revelation chapter 18, that one world financial system also.
Mm-hmm.
We don't look for that to come back. It's not ever coming back. So don't get discouraged. Get encouraged, because he's going to come back. And he's going to put the government on his shoulders.
All that pre-life American dream was a lie anyway.
Yes, an illusion.
Yeah, it was an illusion. I mean, just it's what it was. And, you know, our grandparents, you know, unfortunately, you know, they ride it along with it because that's what they were told. And, you know, nobody wants to be out of their comfort zone. I'll tell you that right now. They want to stay in that comfort zone. They don't want to know that this stuff's going on. They don't want to know. They want to... They want to have their holiday season and just keep on with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And until some lady stands up behind at the House of Representatives and tells them how it is.
Yeah.
Amen.
I know, right?
Awesome.
Praise God by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And I am praying that seed does not return void, and that many of them people get shaken in about a month or two when it finally hits them. I don't think sometimes, you know, you can preach or say a word from God and it don't hit a person for another month or two, maybe even a year. All of a sudden they go, oh, wait a minute. What'd she say?
Yeah.
And that seed's going to come to fruition and God's going to do some watering and they're going to see that this whole thing was set up on an illusion in the first place. Mm-hmm. Satanic Mason set it up. So the God they've been calling about and talking about and putting on the money is not Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. They had a small portion of her on Fox News where they said that, well, you know, you can't believe anything that the government says, but Obama says, no, we're not tapping your phone line and this and that, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we're just basically going to leave you alone. I don't buy that for 1 minute because they'll be watching her like a hawk all the more now. You know, anybody who exposes who they are, you know that you've just infuriated them. But God is going to protect her. I believe it. I mean, he's got her back.
Yeah.
They couldn't
take her
away from that microphone.
No.
I mean, she got her statement out and her message out, and they could not take her away from that microphone. She said no. I got the transcript. She said, no. You want me to read it? Here's what she said. Praise be to God. She said, he will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. Don't touch me. That's when they tried to grab her. He will not be mocked. Then she said, this is the greatest deception here is this is not one nation under God. It never was. Had it been, it would not have been. No, it would not have been. The Constitution would not have been written by Freemasons. They go against God. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. She said it twice. Praise be unto God, the Lord Jesus Christ, praise forever. And then they hauled her away to the middle home. Yep, that's going to be us too one day.
Hallelujah, at least we'll be all together.
Yeah.
The funny house is fun.
That may be how the Lord brings us into one accord. You know, we got 30,000 different denominations in the world. He may bring us into one accord in the funny home, in the funny house. Funny farm, I mean.
The funny farm, yep. I'm laughing because I love it. I just think, you know, I've always, ever since I was a little girl, I mean, before I even became a born-again believer, and Yeshua, I knew when I was little that I was born for such a time as this. I don't know how, but I mean, I stood out on a hill. I had my little coat that my mom bought me that I was standing out there, and I used to have to wear a dress. You know, our parents dressed us up all the time. You know, that's the way things were. You always dressed them up like little dolls. And I remember standing outside in this really cold, blustery day, and the breeze blew right through, and my poor little legs were cold, and I just, so like, I was born for such a time as this. I was only a child, probably only 3 years old, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's about what
and
I was.
And yet, I mean, that's God can speak to you at any time. I mean, I can think back reading on one of the, Lost Scrolls in one of the books. And you read on there, and it's full of information, basically. You know, it's not the inspired word of God, but they're full of information. And it was when Abraham was Abraham, and when he was 2 years old, how bright he was and how he loved God. It's just really cool to read that. I think it was the Book of Jubilees in that one. And it was just, I was just intrigued with it. I thought, you know, I mean, I remember when I was little loving God like that, you know. And actually, I was raised Catholic, and my mom used to do some things. She used to stand me up and make me say, you know, all these different prayers, but I remember the one that really stuck with me and has through all the years, all the Catholic ones kind of like melted away because I was raised Catholic for a good part of my childhood. But the one that always stayed was the Our Father. Now when I sit and meditate on the Our Father and I go into meditation, that is one of the most awesome prayers you can really pray, you know, when you sit and meditate. Yes.
Thy will be done. On earth.
Yes.
As it is in heaven.
Right. Which makes me think, what is heaven like? You know, let it be done here on earth, you know. Let your power, you know, let your power
Amen.
Just glorified.
There's good lobster there.
Yes. That's clean.
Well, I wasn't dressed up as a little doll or a girl, thank God, because I'm a male. But I do remember. And plus, I think I matured a whole lot later than you because I think I was a little bit older. But I remember like 7 or 8 years old. I do remember the same feeling. I'm serious. And I was wondering how many more people felt the same way. And I'm glad you said that.
Did you feel awkward? Did you feel different?
Yeah. And I knew that we were going to be going through this time and season. I knew it at a kid's age. I'm telling you, it's like weird. I knew.
Yeah.
That's amazing that you just said that. But I wasn't dressed up as a little girl.
No, but
my mama
better
not have done that.
But, you know, my mom used to dress my brother up in funny little clothes like that. He used to have to wear funny stuff, too. So he wore these little knickers and suspenders and had his hair cut and combed to the side. Like, he looked like something off of
Roxanne.
You didn't put my brother, too.
You done put your brother's business in the street, man.
Well.
Bless his heart. He might not want that told. But it's out now. It's on Roz.
We used to call him Ricky Dicky Doo. And I still call him that. Oh.
Well, that poor feller.
Yeah, he's not
so old. Since we were talking about Catholicism there for a minute, I guess I know that I've already thought or I've already heard this, but just to refresh my brain, the Pope has a room, a seat in the upper room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's also been making some statements this year that's been very, very even against their own false doctrine.
Yeah.
I mean, he's actually saying that all who follow their moral conscience will make it to heaven regardless if they're an atheist or a part of another religion. Or it doesn't matter as long as you follow morality. And that's not even part of their own false doctrine. I mean, really, it isn't.
Yep.
So there's a lot of people in Catholicism wondering what's happening with this fella. But I think he's part of the false prophet system is what he is of the end days.
Well, supposedly he's got an upper room, I guess, in the temple. But you know, I was thinking over in Israel.
You mean if they rebuild?
I've got like so many things. I think. Wait, just hold on a minute. I've got like finances still going through my head from work.
You don't have to worry about that problem. It's going to be taken care of.
It's not my problem. I was thinking because they have the temple over there that is. Islam has their temple over there, right?
They got a mosque,
A mosque,
Dome of the Rock.
Okay. And I just, it's just interesting how the two are fighting over the same, and it's all about Abraham and the covenant, and everybody just wants this and Israel's so small. They want this piece of property that's so small, you know? And I was just thinking that they want to put up this new, well, they all want to put up the new temple, and supposedly they selected their heifer already, and, you know, blah, 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 their red heifer already.
They have
the red heifer.
Wow.
Yeah, that's, I've got news articles on that.
Okay.
That's true. You know what they're going to do, though, don't you? This is part of the one world religion also. It's going to be called the Abrahamic faith. Christian, Judaism, and Islam.
Yeah.
Well, my whole point of that was, sorry, just quickly, that they were going to come together. That's what I brought in my brain. It was just, I was just thinking about that yesterday for some, like, random reason.
Yeah,
they were just going to come together. Or either that or you know, but that's the only logical explanation I came up with, is that the Pope would have, like, he would be like the head, you know, puppet.
I think he's definitely part of what is called a false prophet system. I don't think he actually is the false prophet, but you don't know yet. But I think he's part of that system. There's no doubt in my mind. And plus, the last three or four popes have actually bowed down in a mosque. They've gone to the mosque and bowed and took their shoes off and actually worshipped in there. So, and what will really blow your mind is I talked to a Jewish rabbi who'd been a rabbi for 30 years. Somehow I made a comment on a national post, and I didn't realize it was a national post. I was just commenting on something I seen somewhere, and it was one of these big, great posts that went all over the world. And me and this Jewish rabbi got to discussing things and kind of got into debating. Did you know he actually believes Islam is holy? And the Jewish rabbi believed that the radicals have hijacked Islam, that Islam is actually part of their faith also, that Allah is just another name for God.
Right.
I'm like, what? And he said, the Dome of the Rock, it's holy.
But
I said, what?
Yeah, weren't you the one that told me that before?
Yeah, it blew my mind. I said, you're going to be deceived. I see how y'all going to be deceived by the Antichrist now. I was wondering how in the world you were going to be deceived, but you mean to tell me that y'all think that that unclean thing, the abomination that causes desolation sitting on the Temple Mount right now, that says all that in the inside of that copper dome is a holy site of God? You've got to be kidding me. And he said, that's exactly how we think, and that's what we believe. And they're going to merge. They sure will.
I think it's already done in a sense. They just have to bring it to the enlightenment
of the
people. Yeah.
He'll be the Islam's 12th Imam, and he'll be the Jews' Messiah that they rejected. They rejected Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus told them in John 5, you reject me, I come in my Father's name, but you shall receive another that comes in his own name. And that's going to be the guy. And they'll have supposed peace. And I think you're right.
But everything that you've brought up, Bugs, is something that I've read on. I mean, not too long ago, but I definitely see how all of this can pull together. And I think they've already done a lot of things behind closed doors that we don't even really know.
I wonder if these domes have links, because the Mormons have a dome, Capitol building has a dome, their mosque has a dome.
Look at the Masonic Lodge.
And Joel's got a dome.
But look at them. The Masonic, the Masons have a sign with a half moon and a star. So does and a sword. So does Islam.
Mm-hmm.
They might be like the pyramids. They might be connected somehow.
I'm just throwing a bone out there. I just was thinking about it because, I studied the Washington and the different buildings and architects and how they've come over here, especially the obelisk has been around for forever, it seems like.
Oof.
And
nobody hardly knows what that is.
Yeah, I know. My 9-year-old does.
Well, that's because you taught him.
But I'm just saying, it's just that thing's been around for ages, and nothing has changed. Everything duplicates itself.
Well, look at St. Peter's Basilica.
Like,
you can see that thing sticking straight up, which is actually a real one. I mean, an authentic one that came from Mesopotamia. It was dug up, I think, in the 7th century and drug over there. And then they put a cross on top of it, throw some holy water on it, and said it's sanctified. That might have been the same one that Elijah come up on the scene and says, choose you who you shall serve. Because they were all worshiping around an obelisk back then in 1 Kings 18.
Right.
That's amazing to me, and it's sitting there.
They're erecting obelisks everywhere.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah,
seriously. You guys know Pam. I've gone over to her town home to visit her, and we've done a little prayer walk. She's got one right in the center there where all the town homes are. It's bizarre. Really bizarre. They put one right there. We just went over and started praying. Did a prayer walk, blood walk around it and everything. And we've gone on over to this other place. It's this New Age, it's called Ekankar. We've gone over there and just prayed and just really, prayed for the truth to come forth, and prayed for the people that were being affected in there. Just really had some warfare.
Look at the graveyards. I know,
there's one up the street. There's one up the street that has a huge obelisk in the middle of it.
Several of them. I mean, they're everywhere. I mean, because of the Masons.
Yeah.
They're big here.
They're
so
in Baal worship.
Mm-hmm.
This is ancient Baal worship is what it is.
Yeah.
And this is what this country was set up on. Baal is the god on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
That's who that is. And he was a prosperity god back then. And Baal is the god of the word of faith. And Baal is the god of these prosperity pimps. That's who it is. Because
mm-hmm.
remember, they had 3 years without rain in 1 Kings. And so they were tripping.
Number three.
And they were asking, Baal, send the rain. And Elijah mm-hmm. said, your God ain't going to show up. They were worshiping Baal because this was a symbol of fertility. This was a male symbol.
That's right.
That's how ugly this is.
Right.
It is.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because for people that are listening that don't know what the symbolism is, it's male.
It's nasty,
and,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's an abomination.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Exactly.
I'm just shocked that they're popping these things up everywhere, you know. I mean, in places you least expect to see one, it's there.
I know. It's very concerning. It's very much also in the music industry, which mm-hmm. just plagues the young minds of the youth mm-hmm. today. I mean, you got Baal worship all through it. I mean, they're throwing Freemason signs everywhere. I'm talking about all the big rappers. You got the Lady Gaga. You got the weird Miley Cyruses. You got the strange demonic activity going on, and that's what they're promoting. I mean, more than ever. Madonna did it in the 80s and 90s, but this is they're really ramping it up now. And
well,
it's amazing.
Well,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Wow,
I lost my train of thought now.
Sorry, I'm just thinking what you were saying. The Baphomet, even the Baphomet symbol, showing that on their apparel and doing the hand gestures and everything like that. I mean, you know, I mean, if you pull mm-hmm. up a Styx concert, you're not gonna, you know, see anything like that in there from the late 1970s. I mean, you know, I don't know what those guys were doing, but I mean, they weren't, you know, outwardly, you know, showing a pyramid, you know, like you're saying, Baal symbols and everything else. Now they're it's all over the place, and sorcery seems like the thing because sorcery is all over the TV.
That's what that is.
The vampire demon is like taking over big time.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw a commercial, or I was channel surfing the other day, and I just saw something like this camera just zoomed down on the sea of women, and they were all sashed in red, covering up their personals, but you could see that, like, the bottom of their legs and their upper parts, but they're like from their chest up, you know, they were all drenched in red, and this girl was laying over this guy, and she moves away, and, you know, there he is with his fangs, you know, so he was in a sea, literally a sea of women.
Yeah,
you're seeing that, you know, you're seeing House of Anubis, which has been out for a couple of years. You're seeing Pretty Little Liars, you know, kids running around lying back and forth, blah, blah, blah. I mean, come on, this isn't General Hospital, you know. Even General Hospital is a lot cleaner. Not that I watch it, but I mean, just off the top of my head, you know. It's just that this is what's being promoted. This is what the kids are seeing on, or children are seeing on TV. And their parents aren't doing anything. They're letting them watch it. It's just come on, you know, and
it's beyond their comprehension.
Griffin, which I don't mind, but the people who can see, when you see all
the
symbolisms, yes, big time, and there's so many people that are, like, lost. I mean, I'm not saying I know everything, but, or you know everything, or Roxanne knows everything, and we don't, but it's just that, you know, this is what they're being led by. The demonic is so, and it's just like praying is so important. Just pray without ceasing. You know, it says it in 2 Thessalonians. Just keep
mm-hmm.
praying and protect your house. You know, ask the Lord to protect your babies, your husbands, your wives, you know, because that's what's going to keep us from having anything to do with that. I mean, that's just ridiculous. We have no time. We're on borrowed time. I've said that time and time and time again. There's no time. It's 11:59. It's time to go. You know, there's just no more time to fool around. We either we either, you know, get to wanting to live and living the Word of God, or we just turn our backs, because we can't be lukewarm. You know, discipleship is heavy. That's always on my mind. Discipleship is heavy. It's mm-hmm. you know, it's not an easy thing. You're gonna have to be able to walk away from everybody, your child, your mother, your husband, to walk with Him. That's what He's asking you, to walk with Him.
Yeah.
So there's no time like the present to get on your knees and ask for forgiveness and do your best and try to walk, you know,
it's walk, for our own
walk
protection,
in His ways,
huh?
and have a relationship with Him, and spiritual relationship is so important.
No, Roz, you mentioned about the vampires and all the women being dressed in red, and He was laying mm-hmm. in a sea of women, and I saw that, and something that kind of clicked. My daughter, oh my gosh, I'm just so excited that God is really opening my children's eyes, because she's older. I think she's like 26. Anyway, she, I might have sparked her interest in some things a couple of years ago, because she really began to research the whole Illuminati thing. And one of the things with the with Hollywood and celebrity status quo is, you know, they got to go out and make a complete fool of themselves. And then after they've done, it's part of their initiation into the Illuminati, and then after that, a lot of these women that are initiated, I don't know how it works for the men, but they come out usually wearing a red dress, you know?
Wow.
And some of them that she had pointed out that had done that was Whitney Houston, who's the new one, I can't think of her name, all the younger, like her blonde hair country singer,
Oh, I know you're
Yeah, why can't it? It's just the T. I should know who it is.
Taylor Swift?
Yes, Taylor Swift is another one. Yep, Taylor Swift. Of course, Madonna. A lot of these women out there that have, but you look at what Miley Cyrus has done. She's went to the extreme hilt. Brittany Houston, all of these big stars, I mean, they've done something blatantly either for the Illuminati or for Satan. Katy Perry came out and told publicly how she gave her soul to Satan, that she grew up in the church. But you can Google it, and somebody didn't believe me, and they just looked it up yesterday. Oh, it's my daughter. She says, I don't know about that. I'll go look it up. And she did, and she watched it on a video, and she tells how she gave her soul to Satan.
Wow,
Brad,
I believe
Pitt's
that.
Brad Pitt's another one.
Yeah, and another one is the black singer. I'm not good with these names, I'm sorry, but she's well known too, and she's got an invisible friend. She talks about it. You can look. Beyonce, that's who it is. She's got an invisible friend she talks to. Yeah, she's got some things going on. You watch her in the interviews with Barbara Walters and everybody. She's got her invisible friend sitting right there.
You know what the name of it is, don't you? That demon? Sasha Fierce, I believe it is.
Yeah.
That's what she calls
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of these, you know, stars that have been, you know, introduced into the occult and Illuminati, you know, there's been initiations that they've gone through. I'm not saying all of them, but there's a good portion of them that have really sold themselves out. I'm not saying all Hollywood, because there are movie actors out there who refuse to do parts. But to me, it amazes me that they can stay in, you know, that kind of business, that kind of line of work. It's got to be awfully hard with all the pressure.
That's true.
It really does. I mean, I couldn't imagine. But to stay in it, you know, and continue to work, and then to be a light in such a dark place. Because they go through a lot of scrutiny. We're watching actors left and right popping out, you know, stepping out, making a stand, you know, against Obamacare, like Clint Eastwood and others, you know, who are pretty much denouncing a lot
Stephen
of things.
Stephen Bowen.
Right, and I'm not going to say that the Republicans are angels here, you know, or anything, or the conservatives, but the Tea Party is sure taking a lot of whoopings, and it's because they're standing for what's right, and yet they still are able to stand. And you can watch even some of the Republican Party members who are really liberal go up against the Tea Party. It just blows my mind, you know.
They've been infiltrated.
Yes, yes, and I believe that it happened a long time ago that it started, you know, where you had a lot of Republicans that weren't really Republicans at that time. It was, you know, the grassroots level had already become dirty, you know.
Look at Senator
level.
John McCain.
Uh-huh.
He's about as evil as they come. John McCain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you, it makes you wonder, I mean, I'm not saying anything happened, but it does make you kind of, in my mind, I kind of wonder what really went on at the prison camp, what he had to endure. Because he was in prison for, I forget how many years, as a POW.
There's no telling.
And, yeah, what went on in there.
But the problem is...
You're talking about John McCain, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem
he almost seems like he's become a traitor.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. The problem is they don't know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm talking about the Prince of Darkness is upon their mind. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to push this agenda to actually fund the rebels who are killing Christians and cutting their hearts out and eating their livers also. Now, this is our tax dollars, and the CIA is helping these people. And Assad, actually, as bad as he is, he was trying to protect the village that they ramshacked and started killing Christians. They came on in. So
mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me that we're on the wrong side of everything now.
I know.
You know that when I heard this from Stewart's show, too, that that if the elites need an organ or something like that, they'll actually take someone. They'll find somebody who matches. Take them, and while they're still alive, take their organs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some things about the Illuminati that's pretty sickening, and most people wouldn't believe it if you told them
mm-hmm.
that they literally have to eat flesh and drink blood.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get addicted to it. So I've heard
that's
some...
disgusting.
It is. It's really, especially this time of year. This time of year is a big high holy day for these people. Because they are nothing but a group of witches, and they control the world's financial system. And that's why they control the puppets up there.
That brings me right back to skull and bones, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know we'd love to believe that, you know, George W. Bush was a great guy and everything, but all of these guys have had their big part in organizing all of this that were
evil.
Coming to a climax up. Yes, because he's a part of the Skull and Bones. And who knows? I mean, somebody came out who left the Skull and Bones and told what they did in their ritual, but it's on a YouTube video. You can research Skull and Bones and watch some of it, you know, and there's a guy that came out of that cult. It's a cult.
Oh, yeah.
And then you look at all the shirts and purses and accessories and everything with Skull and Bones on it, you know?
Yes, Luciferian worship. Look at the Bohemian Grove the Bushes were involved in. I mean, most of the presidents and politicians. They literally sacrificed humans. I mean, these people, you know, it goes pretty deep if you keep digging. It's like the Matrix, you know. Which pill do you want?
Right. Yep.
If you want reality, it's going to be deep. But the thing about it, the Lord reveals these things to us because he saves us from the snare of the enemy, Psalms 91. And in Mark 16, 17, 18, the one the Pentecostals love to quote, they shall pick up serpents. And you got some in Tennessee taking that literally. Well, that just means you'll pick up the deception of the enemy. And that's what's being done here. This is not conspiracy theory. This stuff is coming out now. They're not even scared to publish this stuff now because the world's so dark now that nobody's going to come against them. I mean, look at Obama. He can get away with murder now over there in Libya, and nobody even said too much about it. They just let it go. Are you kidding me? So now darkness just rules because we know that he's going to have his season. It's in Revelation chapter 12. He's wroth, but it's for a very short time.
mm-hmm.
And he's poured out of wood. Go ahead.
I know a lot of people are really hesitant to say he's the AC, okay? I mean, I know they're hesitant to say it because everybody just wants a little bit more proof, but how much more proof do you need when somebody calls themselves, names themselves a renegade for their Secret Service name, when that means the lawless one? And, you know, then they go ahead and mock God and make all these other claims, and then you look at his background, you know, where he comes from, where he originates from. You look at all that, all his upbringing, when he was brought up reciting the, you know, portions of the Quran. And then you've got his inauguration and everything, and his first speeches, his first speech to Cairo, to the Egyptians, how he begins off with quoting the Quran fluently. You've got set up in Germany with, oh my gosh, that right there was very paganistic in,
oh, yeah,
in every sense. I mean, there's just so many things. And then Colorado, Denver, Colorado Airport, all
yep.
the signs and symbolisms in there. I mean, we are, it's just littered everywhere. I mean, how much more proof do people need? They just feel like they need more proof of something, you know. I mean, yes, the Antichrist spirit is here, but I think we're on the brink of something phenomenal happening, you know. And I get excited when I read the Bible and it says that God will put a seal on his saints' heads and nothing will touch them or harm them.
That's right.
Nothing. And I get excited about that because that's telling me, you know, we're going to be protected if we're still here. I mean, I don't, there's so many different ways of looking at the end, whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, you know. I don't think
right.
that matters. But whether we're here or not, oh, my gosh, if I'm still here, God's going to put a seal on my head.
Not only that.
I'm going to be one of the ministering saints, you know, because I really believe that I was born for this time. You know, I mean, I'm excited to be alive in this day and age that we're watching all these things come to the culmination. And we get to experience this when the prophets longed for this day. They would have loved to be alive in our day and age.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they would have. Oh, heck yeah, they would have been all excited. He's coming. You know,
uh-huh.
Just dancing around and getting all excited. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I mean, all of us, pretty much everybody I know has a smartphone, and all you got to do is look on your smartphone. You're going to get I'm one of the many that, you know, I register for the news reports, special reports that they come out. And so I know immediately if something's going on in the world, you know, or even in my local area, I know immediately if something's going on. You know, AP has an app that comes out with, you know, headline news. We get the stuff instantly. So it doesn't matter mm-hmm. where you are in the world or what time it is. We're all getting it at the same time. No matter what hours
yes.
it is on the other side of the world, we're all getting it. We're all getting the message. So we're set up for that time.
Yep. We really are.
When every eye will see.
That's right.
Yeah.
They shall see the return of the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe this man is what the Lord put on my heart when I was praying for this man in the White House. Oh, they call him Obama. Oh, Obama.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. and when he won, and I knew he was going to win, I was putting it on the internet back then. Remember? I mean,
mm-hmm.
and I was catching some flack.
Boy,
yeah, people were hammering me, man. But I was telling them, this is what's going to happen. And I started praying. I said, okay, Lord, it says to pray for your leaders so we may live in peace on the earth. So here I'm praying for them. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit put on my heart, do not lay vain repetition before me. And I'm thinking,
yeah.
Vain repetition? And yeah, because this man sold his soul out. He is part
uh-huh.
of the system. But here's what he put on my heart. He gave me Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, and it talks about Abaddon, Apollyon, which is a destroying angel, a fallen angel. And
yeah.
he's from the bottomless pit. And what happens is Obama is sent to destroy, to tear everything down, make a mess of everything, tear the economy down, throw a monkey wrench, you know, so to speak, in the Middle East and cause havoc, which he has definitely done, and he's supporting all that mess. And then the leader comes, the Antichrist leader. Now, Obama's got the Antichrist spirit, and he's actually even got the same type of drawl as the Antichrist, the same symbols, and he uses them. But there's a leader that's going to come that's more intelligent than Obama ever thought about being. This guy's going to have dark wisdom. He's going to have both bloodlines, not just one. Obama's got one bloodline of Ishmael. But this man will have the Jewish bloodline also. And then it'll be like John the Baptist and Jesus. The devil always mimics what God has done. So when John said, I must decrease and he must increase, well, that's what this is going to happen. Obama's going to decrease, and this guy's going to rise up on the world scene and increase, and he's going to proclaim to fix everything that's been torn down. And he's going to look like a Messiah figure. And the one world religion is already like a melting pot. It's already starting to boil to where he also will have that on one end, but he will make peace. He will have the world's economy in his hand because OPEC will deliver everything to him, the world's oil supply, because he'll be their 12th imam. So it's going to be unbelievable. That's what Obama's preparing for. He's like a pre-runner. And that's why it looks like, man, this guy looks like him. But he is just the pre-runner. And he's going to decrease. I'm not sure what's going to happen exactly, but he's definitely going to decrease when this other man that makes peace in the Middle East increases. And when you see that peace treaty for 7 years, you know that whoever thought pre-trib done missed it. that means we're still here, and we're going to have to endure.
I really do feel sorry for the people that are duped into pre-trib, though, you know.
I know. I do, too. It's dangerous.
It is.
They're
going to
be disheartened. They're going to be discouraged. And guess what? He is raising up people like you, Roz and Dorothy and me, so we can be gentle, full of love, full of love. Hello. Full of love.
Yes,
not be going, I told you so. I told you so. You should have listened to me. Yeah. Now look at you. Now look at you. Uh-huh. No. No. It's going to be brother or sister. You know, I'm sorry that you were taught that way, but guess what? Jesus is still on the throne. He still loves you. Everything's going to be okay. There's leaven. Let's purge the leaven out. Praise God. Let the Holy Ghost get that stuff out, and let's move on. He's going to watch over you. You know what I mean? But there's going to be
I'm glad you brought up the love thing, though, Bugs. I really am, because I was telling my husband last night, I said, you know, I've gotten so hard in some ways. And I said, I just really need to get, you know, I just need to get really closer to the Lord. The way that I feel that love, again, that compassion, because the world is hardening a lot of us.
Yep.
And I'm being very honest and transparent now. I mean, I opened up myself to him last night, and I said, I just don't feel like I have the love that I need to give out, and I really need to be doing what I'm called to do and fulfilling my purpose, you know. I feel like I'm not fulfilling my purpose at this point, you know. And I was being very transparent with him, and I said, and the funny thing was, is right after that, the next morning, my mom said to me on the phone, because we talk on the phone almost every day, and I said some things, and she goes, you know, Roxanne, and she said it very kindly, and she said, you've gotten really hard, and I just had, she didn't know it, because we're 8 hours apart, but I had tears rolling down my face, because I just got done telling my husband that, you know. I said, I just feel like in some ways the world is hardened to me, you know, and I just need God to melt that, because I really need to have that love, because I do not want to be one of those people saying, I told you so.
No.
I don't want to be one of those people.
I don't either.
You just want to, I want to be one of them people when it starts happening and they look scared, you just pull them and give them a hug and say, look, this is the way and this is the truth, you know, and it's Jesus. And, you know, I mean, I know we have to dump overload on people, but just to give them the simplicity of the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that none of us will perish, you know. I just want to get back to that place where we just have that compassion to pull them in and not be full of ourselves, you know.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing right now. He's refining us by the fire. There's many, many, many people are feeling it, and it's pulling at our flesh, and he's taking that Holy Ghost fire, and he's really slaying us in the spirit. Not just falling down, kicking like a chicken, but I'm talking about really from the inside. Self is dying, and that love of God is the power of God.
Amen.
That is the power. I'll never forget the dream he gave me not too long ago about this radical Islamist was after me with a, at first he had one of them handheld grenades and rocket launchers, rocket-powered grenades, is that what it is?
Yeah.
And he shot it at my house in my dream. I went, wow, and he missed, and we all ran the neighborhood into a big barn, and this dude come in there, and he says, looking for Daryl Mosley. And guess what they did? They all gave me up, man.
Wrong.
Everybody turned and said, there he is. And so here he comes. I'm serious now. And he grabs that big old Muslim machete, you know, that crooked-looking knife or whatever, and he's about to take my head off, and he starts hollering, Allah Akbar. And I grab him, and I start thinking, oh, I start thinking in the flesh, how am I going to counteract this and use some Taekwondo on this fella and knock him down? You know, and I grabbed, and I could feel he was so hard. It was like cement. I couldn't move him in the flesh. And then all of a sudden, Jesus said, it's not going to be by the flesh, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And all of a sudden that love hit him. I started praying for the Lord Jesus to touch him with love, and it hit him like three times. It's like three waves come over him, boom, zoom, and also he dropped it. He dropped the machete and said, what was that? I said, that's the love of Jesus. And he said, I want to know him. That's what broke the it wasn't me fighting him. It wasn't me knocking him down, trying to avoid, you know, evasive maneuvers to keep my head from being cut off. It was the love of God that hit him, that broke the yoke in his heart, because they've never experienced Jesus' love. That's a good sermon.
That is. It really is.
When I came back from heaven in my dream, I woke up and, man, I was loving everybody. You could have just shot me up all into pieces, and I would have. I was standing there wanting to hug you.
It's not our body anyway no more. We were bought with a price. It's his. It's his to give. I mean, really, if he wants to give it up, it's not ours anymore. Remember? We surrendered.
Yeah, I know, but geez, you know, get me on one of my premenopausal days, and I'll be like, "Who do you think you are? I'm the daughter of the Almighty."
But hormones. My goodness, don't catch me in a hot flash. Oh my goodness, where's Dorothy at? Is she still among us? Bless her heart. She ain't got a word in.
Who do you think you are?
I'm still here. I'm just listening to you guys carry on.
I'll try to do my show. Get away from me.
I don't want to talk about Roz's hormones, I'll tell you.
That's okay. Well, God's got a fan.
That would make for one heck of a show.
Uh-oh, Dorothy, we got to do it all live now.
Yep.
A reality rise.
But that's what he's doing to us, y'all. Yeah. And don't fret. What he's doing right now is he's pulling all that stuff out of our hearts. We can't do it alone. You wouldn't even have made that statement, Roxanne, if he wasn't already working on you. That means he's doing it.
Yes, because I can't do it in my own power. And that's why, you know, as I was telling my husband, Bart, I said, you know, I just really want you to take that time to get before God, because I need a husband that does that, you know. I need you to be the leader in the family. And, you know, because I hate being the leader.
Yeah.
It's kind of a little out of order, you know.
I understand
Do you feel like it's like a controlling thing though in some ways?
I think what has happened is I've been given too much control.
Mm.
And that's what hardens women. I think that hardens women when they're given too much control and all that, because we really need a spiritual leader, you know. I mean, it's like we almost...
I'm sorry.
I honestly, it's like, and I'm not going to deny it, but I got to be honest here. I mean, sometimes I just, it's like, well, I got the control, bless God, you know, that's great. But on the other hand, I can feel things just getting out of, off kilt, and I don't want it that way.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, in reality, but then that, well, let's just say it like it is, that whole Jezebel thing starts to kind of like go, man, don't give up what you've got now, you know. You've got the power. It's like,
exactly.
No.
Daryl went
you
through
know?
A whole thing with Jezebel, yeah.
Because
when we're
submitted as women, when we're submitted, it doesn't mean that they have a complete authority over us. It's just they're given the spiritual leadership. And I really do see where there's a lot of men that don't have the spiritual leadership in the home.
That's true.
You know, or even in the churches.
That's very true. And it's causing a lot of problems.
Yes, it is causing a lot of problems. And Pam and I have talked about this, you know, about the women taking the leadership and everything, you know. And
The lady in the House of Representatives. How many men do you think had that same call and they wouldn't do it?
Yeah.
And she stood up and did it. So guess what? Deborah's
yeah.
are being made. Because, I mean, weak-spined men won't stand up in their own household. They sure are not going to stand up for God in the House of Representatives.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're in a day of judges. Remember judges? Everybody did what was right in their own sight.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. And so God's using any vessel that will stand up and proclaim holiness in that home, in this country, and from the pulpit or whatever. And these people say, oh, you can't use a woman. The heck you can't. God will use a woman. He uses a donkey. He uses a bug man.
Mm-hmm.
He'll use any willing vessel. But you're right. Men need to start standing up in their homes because it's also confusing a lot of women, too. Because they're putting all the pressure on them to take care of all the bills, take care of all this, and control all these things, and make all the decisions. And it's not, that's not their mantle to do.
Right, right.
So you're right.
And that's why we tend to get hardened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes
because
for a dysfunctional home.
We have to take that male role and become that. And become that head.
And guess who watches this? Children, grandchildren, and it becomes a type of generational curse, and they end up doing the same thing over and over and year after year. And they go, well, I've seen my mama do this, and I've seen my daddy just not say nothing, and it just keeps going on and on and on. Somebody got to stand up and break that. But it's pretty bad. And it's in a lot of families.
Matter of fact,
I stand up in mine, and people think it's actually it's the odd thing to do. You know what I mean? That my wife is very submissive, and we don't fight about things like that, and she lets me take authority in my own home, and people think we're odd. Really, in our day, that's odd. You know where that come from, don't you? If you think back to the 80s. And all these little funny-looking sitcoms like Married with Children and all these things that planted those demonic seeds in our lives and everybody's life, how the man was demasculated or emasculated. He was just taken down to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That is the devil. Because if he can destroy the home, guess what happens? He can take the rest out.
Well, he already had his hand in destroying the home. He's got us women out working.
He went from Leave It to Beaver homes to Married with Children, Al Bundy.
Yeah.
See, that thing's a powerful
but
tool.
Even Peggy stayed
Hollywood.
At home all day, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. It's a powerful tool that the Hollywood is a powerful tool the devil uses to plant seeds, and it takes 20, 30 years, but it does come to fruition, and look what the wickedness we got now.
Yeah.
It's
well, I'm not saying that the Amish got it all wrong, but, you know, when I go to work, I see them, and they're out there in families working together.
Yeah.
They're not apart. We're all separated. Your child goes to school, you go to work, your husband goes to work over here. So we're all separated. They're all out there together.
Right.
Well, they work at They work as a community too.
Right.
With
well,
their,
right. But do you get my point though?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
okay.
Pretty. That's pretty sad though. I mean,
mm-hmm.
The Christian church. I mean, pretty much getting rebuked by a cult or even Islam or Mormonism
mm-hmm.
by certain things that they do that we don't do. Mm-hmm. It blows my mind. I mean, the reprobate, I'm trying to think of the name. There was a group that God used to rebuke Israel the same way because they wouldn't drink wine because their father told them not to do this. So, I think it's the Rechabites, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, these people are doing things out of law that we should be doing under grace in many ways,
yeah.
Some of them. And they're trying to justify themselves by law, which they're under a curse, that we should be, you know, doing the same types of things under grace and loving and being one accord that we're not. So we're getting rebuked by that. It blows my mind. But Satan's doing that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it's because of the watered-down message from the pulpit. They don't read the Word no more. They read two scriptures or they go to a man's book and they start teaching psychology. And before you know it, you got psychology in the church and you don't got God's Word of power. God's Word will convict that male sitting in the seat next to you, or God has a way of getting to even your husband or whatever through His Word. But when you're teaching mm-hmm. some man's junk or some man's doctrines, a Baptist doctrine, a Pentecostal doctrine, a Methodist
right.
doctrine or whatever, that don't do nothing. That's man's
right.
junk. It's
right.
God's Word that brings power and conviction. It causes someone to bring repentance to their heart and they change. I'm talking about a transformation. Ooh, Lord. I don't got to
preach. Yeah, that's preaching it. It's good. Don't stop.
It's so true.
It
and
is
that's
true.
What's happened to us. And so, I mean, when the church goes, so goes the nation. So
mm-hmm.
we're going to be judged first. Judgment starts first at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. Many people don't
mm-hmm.
realize that. And that's why we have to stand up and call out this stuff, not trying to be mean, but out of love, saying, look, don't follow this stuff no more. Follow Jesus. Get away from these people. Pray for them to repent. Pray for Joe to be saved. Pray for these people, these leaders to be saved, but don't follow them no more, people. You know, come out and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I shall receive you. Then you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. But that's what's causing our families to be dysfunctional. And bless their heart, they might have seen their parents do it, and instead of being conformed to the image of Christ and their new father, they still conform to the old pass of their other father or mother. You know, a lot of people are under that. Does it make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Can I get Amy?
You should do a show at least once a month.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm telling you.
Well, praise God.
We should at least do like one Thursday out of the month.
Yeah, we need to start
I'm all for
What's
it.
What's that?
We need to start doing that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, we should, from now on, we'll talk later, but, I mean, if you agree to it, we should at least do one Thursday a month.
Oh, that's fine with me.
That's fine
okay.
with me, too.
Yeah, we should do, what's today, the 24th? Something like that, a week before the third week of the month.
I'm still pondering that. That horse theology Roxanne throwed out there a while ago, that's interesting. It really is. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That is
you
amazing.
Know, horses sense everything. They sense if you're in fear. They sense if you're angry. They sense if you're in a really good mood. They'll mirror it right back to you.
That's what I didn't know. That's amazing.
I've always thought the horse is one of the most spiritual animals. Because they really pick up your vibes, you know. And
we're
going to
be riding when we come back.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be riding. We're going to be riding white horses.
And they're going to mirror us on them. Praise God.
Yes.
Yeah, there's something to that. It just hit me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm serious. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, boy, that's good.
The Bible has a lot to say about horses.
I am so glad I didn't try to ride one when I was a heathen then.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
See, that sucker would have turned around and kicked me right in the face.
She's crazy.
I love her.
You know, Bugs might be riding a mini, though. You never know.
She's just too funny.
Yeah, the Lord uses the foolish things in the world to confound the wise.
Yes.
And the topics that we get on and I preach in the church are so heavy sometimes. You got to use some crazy man like me to throw some humor in there so they can get a breath.
Listen, I call Darryl's cell phone just to hear his voicemail sometimes because I need a good laugh. And just the way he spouts off, it's just like, ha, you've reached that phone, Darryl Mooley. Sorry, Missy Gold. Try to call me again. Bye.
And I didn't even mean to do that. It sounded crazy, though.
Yeah.
I know it, boy. I tell you, we had a good time.
You can't help it. But I do want to say, though, in all seriousness, that Halloween is coming. Those of you who have listened to the show for how many years and listened to other folks that know about this stuff, you know that it's the highest human sacrificial day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know the whole, Val, you know the whole whole history behind that, right?
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, we went over it last night. The druids?
Yeah, and how they would leave fruit or whatever out there in their front of their homes. And they thought that their dead would come and pick it up, and if they didn't have anything there, they would like, wreck the house and everything else.
Oh, yeah, trick-or-treat.
Right.
And they wear masks, trying to masquerade amongst the demons because they believe the demons would come back that night and walk the earth. Mm-hmm. And all this. It's unbelievable. The bonfire is actually a bone fire from their sacrifices. Mm-hmm. They would burn the bones and everything else in the fire. It's pretty evil. And you wouldn't be surprised how many Christians, you know, either carnal Christians or just people that's got an image of Christ in their head and think they're saved, that participate in this stuff. You know, some people just don't know any better, and some people really are not saved. They just don't know Jesus. They're in a simple church, or they're in some type of church that has a harvest festival and does all this crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know what the jack-o'-lantern stands for. Man, that's to attract the demon spirits.
Yeah, it
you
is.
Know?
Yep.
So,
you know, I do a different thing at my place. I call it Celebrate the Harvest. And I do that with my pony rides with a bouncy house. And I've started it last weekend, and it's open for – and I actually went into a couple churches, and they kind of looked at me kind of funny, you know, because they're celebrating trunk or treat and stuff like that. They've got their own version of Halloween.
Right.
But mine was Celebrate the Harvest. It was it's geared to be an alternative to October 31st. I don't even want to say Halloween.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't give Satan any credit for that day. Mm-hmm. I just say on October 31st we have an alternative, and it's Celebrate the Harvest. But I started Celebrate the Harvest before October 31st. I started last week, and I'll go all the way to the 3rd of November, and basically it's just bringing families together, and I provide interactive games for them, all that kind of stuff, because it should be a time of celebration. Harvest is, you know, time when you're storing up and going into winter. Because you can't sow and reap then.
Well, that's true. Can't
and
sow
I think
and
it's
reap.
A time when, right, you have to really, you have to be prepared. And so celebrate the harvest time at my place. I mean, I love harvest time, and I love fall and autumn and everything, and I don't really, you know, when my kids were little, we didn't have an alternative to Halloween. And when I went into a couple churches, they looked. I had one pastor look at me and lean back in his chair and goes, "Oh, an alternative to Halloween." I says, "Yeah, we're doing an alternative on October 31st because there wasn't anything for my children." And I just felt it was really important to have that alternative, you know, for families to do something together, to have fun, you know, to roast some marshmallows or hot dogs and things like that at my place, because I think bringing families together is key. You know, the whole the world's definition of family is changing. But
oh,
the
yeah.
Christian definition is still the same.
Let's
you
know? You've got two daddies and two mamas, and I ain't
yes.
talking about divorce.
Exactly. Right. Or two dads that are moms.
Or, yeah, transgender,
you know?
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
I still ain't figured out what that means, man. I walked in Walmart the other day, and there was this whatever it was like a linebacker. And it was in high heels, about 8-inch. I mean, I'm talking about 4 or 5-inch high heels, man, wearing a red dress that was real tight. And this son gun was big, man. He's about 260 pounds with a little bit of goatee. But he still had
mm-hmm.
that thing going on where he had surgery or something and had a blonde
yeah.
wig on and bright red lipstick and looked at me and winked. Scared me to death.
That's scary.
I said, Lord, if it won't be rapture me now.
I could just see Bugs saying, oh, honey, you need Jesus.
I'm still stuck on the dream that he had where they all gave him up. And you ever see those cartoons where, like, there's somebody that they're looking for, and then they all move to one side, and they're just standing there all huddled?
Yeah.
Like,
that's exactly how it was.
I know.
And I said, bless their hearts, look at them. They just gave me right up. They were scared. People are going to be scared, y'all. I'm serious.
Yes.
Christians are going to be scared. And we got to love them.
I
can't get angry with them. We just got to love them and say, oh, you don't know no better. I know. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he said it to the people that crucified him. So that's how we got to be. Like, oof, I understand they gave me up. Because they're going to give you up. They really
mm-hmm.
are your family members, too. Jesus
right.
said they would. It's going to be kind of sad, but we can love them because we got Christ in us.
Yeah.
You know? And that some of them are going to be saved because, of, like, Stephen and Saul turned into Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, boy. He didn't even feel that last stone. I guarantee you, he looked up and seen the glory of God. In Acts chapter 7, he seen the glory at the right hand of God. And,
mm-hmm.
boy, boom. So we're in an awesome season. And I know you're about to have to close, aren't you?
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm getting ready to close up. So I just want to thank you both for coming on the program. I really had a good time tonight. And not a good time as in, you know.
It was a joy.
A good time as it was a great fellowship. A long time coming. And I really enjoyed having you both on. And I thank Dorothy for all the work she does and getting everything set up. And I appreciate her very much. I just want to thank you again. And Daryl, you know, let's do that every third Thursday of the month, you know.
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready.
Let's just do it. So,
thank you, Dorothy.
All right, everyone.
Yes.
It was awesome to talk to y'all, too.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Great.
Good to fellowship.
Again, thank you for coming on the program. Everyone, look for future shows. Dorothy has posted. I know she's got a couple going on. I'm going to start having them regularly next week. I'm not sure who I'm going to have on, but it'll be posted sometime soon, so you know ahead of time who will be on next week. So I just wanted to say God bless you all. Thank you so much for coming, and just keep your head up. And know that you can trust in Him, and you can rest in Him, and that what's the phrase of the night, guys?
Isaiah 26:3.
God's got your back.
That's right.
Amen.
All right, everyone. Thank you, and good night.
Good night.
Good night.